My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Welcome in. This is the latest edition of the Character Concerns podcast. My name is Chris Sinocero, joined as always by my guy, Jay Binkley. And we are now less than 3 weeks away from the 2024 NFL draft.
Unbelievable. The 25th. Hey, make sure you're at the landing. You can put your picks down. $610. Everybody from 610 will be there. Chris and I will be there for, I don't know, five plus.
It'll whatever. We probably won't be out of there till close to midnight, if not past midnight.
It's going to be open, though, I think.
It's going to be a very long night for us. I've already taken the days off of work from my day job, so yeah, we're going to be in there for the long haul. It's going to be a good time. The landing up in Liberty, we appreciate it if you guys make it out there. We are going to be having a draft party there. All the 610 guys will be there, and we will definitely be making sure that you get the best draft coverage in the city there. So yeah, I've kind of looked up the location online and whatnot. A lot of TVs there, good little setup there.
It's a great place to watch your draft.
Yeah, so definitely a spot that you want to go to on night one of the NFL draft, which will be that Thursday.
Carrington was asking me if I watched Draft Day. You know, it's obviously a bad movie, but I was like, yeah, it's like tradition. You watch the night before the draft because they'll always be on TV. It's kind of become like Christmas Story or Christmas Vacation. It's always on right around the draft.
I've never seen it.
Oh, it's worth it. It's worth it.
Well,
no, I mean, beauty's in the eyes of the beholder. You know what I mean?
If it's terrible. I mean, everybody, every beholder I've seen said it was terrible. Yeah. So I'm going to take y'all's word for it, and I'm good on that. So we're going to do a mock draft for our Chiefs mock draft 2.0. But first we're going to talk about some topics that have kind of come up. We weren't on last week on the air, in podcast form because I was sick last week. And then we were supposed to be on Wednesday, and then the Royals-Orioles game had a five-hour rain delay. So we're going to be live on the air. We got pushed back. So this is our first. We did do a show on Saturday live, but this is our first time just doing the regular podcast in a couple weeks.
And so, Royals game ended unspectacular fashion. That's when it got away.
Yeah.
So you wait 5 hours for that delay and they did that.
A little bit disappointing, yeah. but you know, Royals are above two games above 500, right? As of this recording right now.
Yeah, you'll take it.
So, yeah, we'll take it. But, you know, first big news coming out. Chiefs re-signed defensive lineman Mike Dana to a three-year, $24 million extension, $8 million a year. I was surprised at the length and amount of money. I kind of figured that he was going to sign a one-year deal for $5 million or something, a la Willie Gay with the Saints. And instead, the Chiefs got him locked down for three seasons at a very affordable number. This is a guy who the last two seasons has had a combined, I think it is 11 and a half or 12 sacks the last two seasons combined. Six and a half this past year. I believe he had five or five and a half in 22. So you're talking about a guy who's been producing for them in a rotational manner. And last year with Charles Omenihue being out because of his suspension for six games, Dana early in the season was really effective and was able to do a really good job of playing in Omenihue's absence. And I was really impressed by what I saw from him, especially because he's an undersized defensive lineman, and yet he was able to generate pretty consistent pressure from the three tech. Which, you know, generally you're going up against some massive guys and you don't have a lot of room to work with, but he was able to take care of that and generate good pressure. So I'm a huge fan of this signing, and I think it really kind of changes the draft a bit because it means that now you don't need to sign a defensive, you don't need to draft a defensive tackle like I think we've been talking about here probably since early last fall.
And George Karloftis coming into his own, hit double-digit sacks this year. He's only going to get better. I like his production and what he's doing. But when we first started doing this before Chris Jones signed, not when we first started doing it, but this around this time, Neil Farrell was the only defensive lineman under contract. Now you got Chris Jones, you got Turk Warden back, you got Derek Nottie back, you got Mike Pinnell back, you got this Mike Dana back, and basically, the defensive line is coming back. It didn't become a priority like it was when we first started doing this, you know, a couple of weeks ago. We were doing mock drafts because they didn't have defensive linemen. And Mike Dana is a product of each. He's a fifth-round pick. He's a guy that didn't go to the combine. This is a guy they projected to be good. And you think about Snead being a fourth-round pick, and he goes off and obviously gets the big contract from Tennessee. But here's a fifth-round pick in Mike Dana. And, of course, sixth-round, you got Trey Smith. He's getting these starters or guys that can be big parts of this football team in the fourth, the fifth, the sixth, seventh round with your leading rusher. He's not banking just on first-round picks, which he's always picking at the end of the first round, as it is anyway. But Mike Dana is a perfect example of a guy that didn't go to the combine that they felt had a lot of potential going forward, and they've been 100% right.
Yeah, and what's really interesting about it is that, you know, obviously Charles Omenihue's going to be out. I mean, we don't know if he's going to miss any games or how many games he's going to miss.
Might be in September at some point.
Yeah, because of the torn ACL that he suffered in Baltimore in the AFC Championship game. But, you know, you think about it, is like when he gets back, Omenihue, Dana, Chris Jones, Karloftis. Now, all of a sudden, you've got a really nice four-person pass rush. I imagine that, you know, they'll try to work in Felix a little bit more this year. He's a first-round pick. But now you've got some good run-stopping defensive tackles in Mike Pinnell and Derek Nottie. And now you've got your good rush group that you can kind of interchange. You can move them around. You've got, you know, every one of those guys is someone that can rush from, you know, either the three tech or off the edge. Karloftis hasn't, you know, done it a whole lot on the inside, but all the other three guys have shown that they're effective on the inside or on the outside.
And Karloftis really coming into his own. I mean, right. This guy, I'm not going to say he's Max Crosby yet, but took Max, you know, a little bit.
He's taken some big steps forward the last 2 years. And I definitely think you look at what he's done, you know, he goes from six sacks to 11 and a half in, you know, from year one to year two. And, you know, I think it just gives you a little bit more juice there in the pass rush. And ultimately, that's going to give your defense a little bit more consistency year over year, especially after losing Snead. The pass rush is going to be so important for them in 24. And I definitely think that they did a good job here by retaining Mike Dana for another 3 years.
If you've got familiar guys that know Spag's system, it's not the easiest system to be in as defensive coordinator. And, you know, you have a guy like Chris Jones to kind of show the way, lead these guys by example on what to do. And that's been a big signing. These guys look up to Chris Jones and what he does a lot, and just having him out there every day with practice has helped them come along. And you got to think about the production with George Karloftis. I'm only expecting better. 10.5 sacks last year. I'm expecting like 12 or 13 out of him this year. I think he's gotten to that mold where he can be that guy.
So in other news, Chiefs wide receiver Rashi Rice was involved in a crash in Dallas, and it was last weekend that it occurred. And he got, you know, there was concern about him because he left the scene, and so there was a lot of issues there. Thinking, but there was not a lot of details that came out about the whole situation. And then early last week, his lawyer came out and said, yeah, Rashi was involved in it. He was driving, and that, obviously once we get to that point, you start getting details out. He had 10.8 grams of marijuana in his car. He also had the Chiefs playbook in his car and an uncashed check for $16,500.
At least he had a playbook,
Clearly, we kind of saw where his mind was. Yeah. We saw where his mind was. I mean, he's been studying.
Chiefs playbook in the car.
Down there in Dallas. Camp Pat's been going down there, going on down there. We saw some appearances.
It's not funny, but
We saw some appearances from some potential Chiefs wide receivers and or tight ends. Including Brock Bowers, who was down there, and I think we had to look and think about consider a suspension for Rashi. I think 2 to 4 games. The league tends to be nowadays pretty heavy handed with the punishments for off the field conduct that kind of goes beyond a certain point. I think this one definitely went beyond it, leaving the scene of an accident. But the thing that really, I think this really kind of solidifies it. Yeah, the Chiefs probably should draft another wide receiver. You do have some veteran options. You have Justin Watson, and Sky's been around for 3 years. I mean, 2 years. You hope that in his third year he can give you something. And Kadarius Toney's still on the roster. We'll see what he does. Though I don't think anybody wants KT to be touching the football after last season. But I think you still want to go get yourself a rookie wide receiver that you can develop, and maybe in 2 to 4 games, that rookie wide receiver will get an opportunity to shine if they look good in camp. So I think now the move kind of solidifies where the team needs to go early in the draft.
I've always thought you needed two. You need two wide receivers, two productive wide receivers. And the thing with Rashee Rice is, Chris, I mean, here's the one thing. Through his lawyer, he did admit to driving one of the cars. So the fact that you were driving one of the cars, the NFL will pop you. Whether it be this year or the following year, I don't know. Alvin Kamara took a while for the NFL to level down their suspensions, but I do expect it. Then what are you going to do? Is it going to be a heavy ground game? Is it going to be Travis Kelce's show like we all expect to happen at some point? But Travis Kelce, listen, he's doing enough things off the field now. Who knows, how many years left Travis Kelce has. You always have to plan on who you're going to be your top two pass catchers. Obviously, you put Kelce still in that mold as your top two pass catchers, if not their best pass catcher, but you always have to be planning for the future. I've always thought of wide receivers since day one. When we started watching college the football for this season, the 23 season, this is the direction they should go. I'm even further into that now as far as with the Rice deal. I was already there. This didn't matter. But I mean, when I see corners and safeties like I've seen in some of these mock drafts, I sit there and shake my head because it's going to be wide receiver or offensive line. People are talking offensive line, but the problem is most of the offensive linemen left at the end of the first round, maybe Demaryius Mims, Jordan Morgan, who's going to move the guard. Demaryius Mims is a right tackle. I don't see Andy Reid taking a right tackle and moving the left tackle to be the starter to guard the backside of Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah, I don't either. I think a lot of that, I think a lot of people just, and we've talked about this, a couple times now. We talked about it 2 weeks ago. We talked about it on Saturday. If you missed that, obviously, please listen to that on the podcast page on 6nSports.com, the Odyssey app, wherever you choose to listen to podcasts. I don't see tackle first round. And I think now this kind of gives you an excuse to really be aggressive at getting a wide receiver because you're chasing the number one seed. You're chasing that bye in January, and you need to be equipped for it. You were not properly equipped for it last year. It's the reason why you had the 3 seed. And, it worked out, but I mean, you're not going to always get that. You can't count on your defense being top five again this year. I think they'll be really good again this coming season, but I don't think you want to count on that because that's just, defense is not something you can make last in modern day, for many, many years at a time just because of the roster attrition issue. So, I think now, for sure, with this situation being in place, and you don't know what you're going to get from Hollywood Brown, I think you want to kind of get another guy in the first round at receiver so you have some insurance.
And got to watch what Buffalo's going to do. Buffalo made it clear when they traded Stephon Diggs. Hey, they traded him to a contender, the Houston Texans. So if you say, well, they're not going to trade him to a contender, the Chiefs allegedly were the one team they wouldn't allow anything to. And we heard about Deontay Johnson with the Steelers. They wouldn't do business with the Chiefs. I expect this. I expect teams to start acting like this. And Buffalo is tired of the Chiefs schooling them. They're tired of jumping them to get Trent McDuffie in the draft where they had to settle on Kyrie Elam. They're tired of the fact they gave the 10th pick up to Patrick Mahomes. They're going to move. And as Buffalo sits now 28th, you would expect them to move up. So maybe a Brian Thomas, who's the fourth best wide receiver in this year's draft, still available, and Buffalo makes that move to grab him.
I think it might be a competition between the Chiefs and Bills to see who can move up in front of the Bengals. Because the Bengals, I think the Bengals are for sure going to be in the market for a receiver.
And you think that, but they really needed a lineman as well.
But they needed a lineman in 21, and they took a receiver. Hey, so
Penei Sewell's right there, and they went to Jamar Chase.
They've needed linemen for years, and they haven't drafted him very well or at all. So, I mean, yeah, I think it's pretty safe to assume they'll probably take another receiver with T. Higgins playing on a on the franchise tag and requesting a trade. Yeah, I think it's a pretty safe bet that wide receiver will be, you know, at or near the top of their list. So I think the game is you got to figure out who you're going to trade with.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
In life, some days are good and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work, both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valenti and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
17, which would be the Jaguars, which, you know, we know Doug Peterson, former offensive coordinator here in Kansas City. It would make a lot of sense for him to make a move to see if they can move up and try to get a wide receiver. So, yeah, I think the market is there, and I think you're going to have to be ready to part with a lot of assets to go up and get a receiver. But I also think that that's the best move if you're the Chiefs, because it's an insurance policy. Plus, on top of that, you get more wide receivers under on rookie contracts, which is going to help you kind of circumvent around the issue of having a whole bunch of highly paid players on your roster.
And they could trade back in the second round, but got to be early second round. It's got to be early second round, like 33 to 38, 39, something like that. Because again, first round grades usually probably about 20, 21 players.
All right, so let's get this mock draft started here. This is our Chiefs mock draft 2.0. Same rules as we've had before. We're not going to make any trades. We're simply just going to pick off the board 7 rounds. There'll be 7 picks, one in each round except for the 6th round. They do not have a 6th round pick, but they do have 2 5th round picks. One of those was a compensatory. Actually, it wasn't compensatory. It was a pick that they got from the Dallas Cowboys. I think the other 5th round pick was a compensatory.
It was a comp pick. Then they get the first pick down in the 7th round. So it's not the 5th. Up from the ends of Tennessee Titans, that was part of the Snead trade. They get the pick 221, which is the first.
Yeah, they swap 7th round picks with the Titans in the Snead trade.
Well, we'll do trades as we get closer to the draft, though.
Yeah, so
for sure.
So, yeah, starting off, Bink, you get first pick. So we are starting the mock draft right now.
I had the first one this time again? Because last time I didn't. And I had the first pick, and you had the second. Because you went Johnny Wilson, didn't you?
Yeah, I went Johnny Wilson. Okay. You sure you want me to start?
It's your pick.
Okay.
Fair's fair.
All right, we'll start now.
You're on the clock.
I'm looking at wide receivers.
I know which direction you're going, so I'm happy with it.
Looking at wide receivers, and this sucks. So right now, the top available wide receiver they have is Ladd McConkey. I do not think he's a fit for what the Chiefs need right now. You got Troy Franklin, and there's a lot of people that like Troy. I'm not the biggest fan of Troy, and it's just route running, I think, is an issue.
Catchability.
He dropped 8 passes last year. And really his big thing is he's a deep threat, but that's really the only thing he does is catch it deep, and that's it. So, and he's not like a particularly great, you know, deep route runner. He's just one of those guys, he just runs straight and just keeps running. Oh man, this is tough. This is tough.
Here's the thing about McConkey. I did 21 mock drafts before the show looking at him. Ladd was picked 3 times. A.D. Mitchell was 4 times. So he's the second most picked guy for the Kansas City Chiefs. And a lot of people like Ladd. I'm one of those. I'm one of those that do like Ladd McConkey. I do think the first round is a tad bit of an reach.
So I don't have an issue with taking McConkey just on general principle. I just don't think he fits what the Chiefs need. McConkey's not a deep threat. The Chiefs need a deep threat.
Did run a 4.39.
Yeah, he did, but that was never his game at Georgia. He was always underneath, catch it over the middle, and then run after the catch. Well, the Chiefs already have that with Rashee Rice. So I was like, I don't want 2 Rashee Rices on the field because I feel like Rashee does enough to fit that role. And Kelsey kind of plays that role too, where he's going to catch it and run. So it's like, I need a guy that is going to stretch the defense out. I need a guy that's going to go be a better version of MVS. And I don't think Ladd McConkey is a better version of MVS. Ladd McConkey is a faster version and probably not quite as big and physical version of Rashee Rice. And it's like, I don't need that on the team. Like, we already have that. So, yeah, I mean, if Roman Wilson had run a faster 40 time, I think he'd be an option. I mean, really, I look at it, and the one guy I think that really jumps out to me is Tez Walker, receiver, North Carolina. And for me, I think he's someone that's very flawed because he does not, he didn't have a ton of production when he was in college at UNC. Part of that was eligibility issues.
Transfer from Kent State.
Right. So, like, you know, he was a Big Mac guy, and then he moved over to the ACC and, you know, early on played well, kind of tapered off towards the end of the season. But you look at what he did, and, like, you saw the flash of athleticism. This was, I think, a 4.36 40 guy at the combine. He's big. He's got good size to him.
10-yard split, 154.
Yeah,
he's 6'1.5", almost 6'2".
Yeah, 6'2", 200.
So I like him a lot. I like Tez a lot, man.
And I'm so I think he's one of those guys that, like, if you develop him, if he learns his craft, especially, you know, when you got a guy like Kelsey who's a great route runner, I think that he's someone that can really take his game to a new level, especially having a quarterback like Patrick Mahomes to throw him the football. So in that case, I'm going to go Tez Walker, round 1, pick 32 to the Kansas City Chiefs.
Can't argue that. Xavier Worthy, all those guys off the board, Brian Thomas, A.D. Mitchell. Do we have where A.D. Mitchell and Brian Thomas went?
So
I'm curious what Buffalo did.
So Buffalo took Xavier Worthy.
Okay.
That's who I would have taken.
They get him at 28, though.
They got him at 28.
Okay, sitting in the move.
Yeah. I'm wrong. Baltimore got him at 30. Buffalo took Chop Robinson, which I don't think that's going to happen.
That's not going to happen.
I don't see that happening. Cowboys got A.D. Mitchell at 24. And then Brian Thomas, oh, man, he was taken by the Jags at 17.
Okay.
So, yeah, I mean, I think that's very realistic.
You're looking at second rounders. That's what you're going to have in the pick 32.
Yeah.
Unless they move up this what you're going to have. You're going to have a choice between McConkey, Des Walker. Jalen McMillan's going to be there, who's really starting to grow into the second round at this point, not first rounder at this point, but
yeah,
the opposite side there of Odunze.
Yeah, like I said, I'm comfortable with Tez there at 32. I think he's probably more so a second rounder, but at the same time, like I really like the physical talent that he brings, so that's why I took him there. So now we're on to round two, pick 64 for the Kansas City Chiefs.
You know, I do know that as we sit here, if you're thinking Jalen Polk sits in there as well, but I'm thinking, and you and I had a chance to get Tavondre Sweat.
So I would say when this was pre Mike Dana, I'd be all on board for taking Sweat. But now I just kind of look at it and it's like, now, I mean, you've got Jones, you got Dana, you got Farrell, you got Nadi, you've got Pinnell. Isn't there one more defensive tackle they got?
Turk Wharton.
Turk. So you got six DTs on your roster right now. That would add a seventh defensive tackle to your roster. I don't think they need more than like five or maybe six if you want to stretch it. So the way I see it is like I don't know if I'm using another roster spot on a defensive tackle right now, because I think they clearly have sent a message that, yeah, we think we're good at defensive tackle, especially considering the fact that they have a bunch of edge rushers that can move inside. You know, they have edge rushers that can move inside. So yeah, I'm not sure DT is where I would go right now, but I still like Sweat. I think Sweat might drop to the third now because of the DWI situation that he had this past weekend.
Well, there's two guys here that I'm interested in. One is Christian Haynes, and the other one is Cooper Beebe still, because I look at Cooper, and I understand the arm length and things you might be concerned about, but there's something about him. You know, I don't know if it could be a guy that can start 10 years in the NFL, whether you move him at guard. They did lose Nick Allegretti, a guy that can step in and play guard. He could play tackle in a pinch, even with the arm length's a little bit different than what you'd want, but a guy that could play guard for you.
If I were going one of those two, I think I would take Christian Haynes a little more.
You go Christian Haynes?
Just because of the size. Like, I think he's got a little bit more size you need. And so I think he might be a little bit better of a pick. I do like BB, not in the second round. Like, if you want to get him third, fourth round, yeah, but I not second. But yeah, I think guard's a good place to go now that they've got six defensive tackles on the roster. And I think Haynes is definitely someone that I think can do a good job of learning for a year. I've said this many times before, I think this is the last year that both of your guards are going to be playing in Kansas City. I think Tooney's going to hit free agency after this coming season. I think he'll get released. Cap casualty. They can save a lot of money if they get rid of him. I think like $16 million or something. And then, you know, in the case of Trey Smith, he'll be a free agent. And I don't think the Chiefs are going to pay him, because a lot of guards are getting big money now. You're seeing guards getting $18 to $20 million a year. I don't think he's going to get that much, but I think he's going to get a lot of money. And I think they're going to choose Creed over him because Andy values center a little more than he does guard. So,
well, Christian Haynes, the guy that I really like, guy had almost 50 straight starts at Connecticut. 6'3", 317, 33.5-inch arms. A little bit shorter than Andy Reid wants. Guard, he's fine. Yeah. And this team's going to have to replace guards at some point. I think Christian Haynes is valuable at this position. I do like him and Cooper Beebe a lot. But I'm going to go Christian Haynes is my second pick.
All right. So we have Christian Haynes now on the roster. So now we're in round three, pick 95. So we've hit wide receiver in the first round with Tez. We hit guard with Christian Haynes in the second round. So now we're kind of in a position where we can go best available, or we can just kind of like take a few more lottery picks, if you will. And one guy that really, you know, it's funny is like, if, you know, we weren't going to go receiver or tight end second round, one of the guys I really think could be a really good value pick here that I thought looked really good in the Senior Bowl, looked really good at the Combine. One guy that I would consider is Brendan Rice, wide receiver USC, Jerry Rice's son. Yep. I think he now the only thing about him is that he's basically a Rashi Rice copy, and so I'm not sure that serves what you need. But because you got Tez Walker, and I think Tez can be the deep threat guy, I definitely think that now if you wanted to go another type of Rashi, then Brendan Rice could fill that. But another option I like is Dominic Pooney, tackle from Kansas. Now, I do not think he's a tackle in the NFL. This is a guy who played a lot of guard when he was at Kansas and before. I think he played most of his snaps at guard. I might be wrong. I might have that twisted. He was playing more at center, but he played almost an equal number of snaps between guard and tackle on the left side. And you watch him at the Senior Bowl, and this was a guy that was playing, you know, he was lining up and taking reps on at both guard and tackle. And I thought he looked a little bit better at guard than he did tackle. I don't think he quite has the lateral quickness or the strength that you want from a tackle. But I think you look at him and, you know, it kind of reminds me of Jeff Allen. You know, Jeff Allen was a tackle when he was at Illinois, and then they moved him into guard, and he was a good guard for the Chiefs for years. I think he went down to Houston too and played there for a little bit before he came back to Kansas City. And yeah, he was a good guard. And so I kind of look at him. He's pretty versatile, and he's really interesting. And then, I mean, if the Chiefs didn't have so many defensive tackles already, I would love for them to take Michael Hall Jr., defensive tackle out of Ohio State. I know that they don't take Ohio State guys, but I think he's really interesting as well. But, you know, kind of looking at the situation there, we've talked about it before, you know, guard situation might be a problem for them. I think I want to go Pooney, but Brendan Rice is really interesting there. But I'm going to go Pooney. I'm going to go Dominic Pooney, tackle, Kansas. I think he's a guard.
So we got two offensive linemen and a wide receiver in the first three rounds.
Yeah.
Cooper Beebe, by the way, is still there. I don't see him being here in the round four.
I think there's a chance he might. I think the combine might have hurt his stock a little bit because I think a lot of people kind of question the measurables and question the athleticism a bit. So I do think he might be there in the fourth.
Well, I'm still going a wide receiver in this round. I think it's a pick, maybe a round early, but I really like Luke McCaffrey and his athletic ability and what he can do. We had him in the first mock, I think in the fifth round, one of the fifth round picks, but you're picking there at pick 131, which 135 ends the fourth round. So it's essentially like a fifth round pick as well. I'm going to go Luke McCaffrey, the wide receiver out of Rice.
You really like him.
I do.
I get it. He is definitely, I mean, you know, good bloodline there with his brother, Christian, who's the best running back in the league. His dad, Ed, who was a good wide receiver when he played for Denver. I hated that guy. So, I get it there. I do think getting a second wide receiver would be really nice for them. I was very close to taking Brendan Rice.
I know you were.
But I just, to me, filling out your offensive line depth for 25 is really important. Giving him a year to kind of be the understudies there with Andy Heck and, you know, play, you know, line up behind Tooney and Trey Smith, I think is really interesting. So, yeah, that's why I went there. But, you know, it was very tempting to go get Brendan Rice. But yeah, I like Luke. I think Luke presents you, a more veteran kind of more of that veteran type of wide receiver who's not gonna be a guy I don't think that'll like wow anybody on the team. But he can be a consistent receiver.
He's just getting better. Fourth or fifth round pick is what he is.
Yeah.
Typically, you know, fifth round. But again, you're picking towards the end of the fourth round there. So yeah, big slot target. As far as what he is, what he's considered. So I like Luke McCaffrey. He's 6'2", about 200 pounds as well, and ran that 4.46, so I like the size, the speed.
He reminds me a lot of Byron Pringle, and I kind of feel like that's kind of where he is, where he'll be in his career. It's kind of that, you know, fourth wide receiver, you know, a Justin Watson type as well. I've compared Justin Watson a lot to Byron Pringle. And I kind of feel like he'll play that role. And I think that works well for a guy you take at the beginning of day three. All right, so let's get to these final three picks that we have here in the mock draft. I think there's some interesting options here. One position I think the Chiefs would probably be a good idea for them to touch is running back. You did sign Clyde Edwards-Helaire to a one-year deal last week. You still have Isaiah Pacheco. So now I think they're in a good spot where they can go take a guy that is more of an upside guy. I know one running back I've seen a lot of people mock to the Chiefs, Dylan Laube from New Hampshire. There's another one I've seen, Dylan Johnson, running back from Washington. That's a hard no for me. he's got a lot of wear and tear in his body. He was a workhorse when he was at Washington, got a ton of usage, and his yard per carry average was not that great.
Yeah, they needed those three trios of the trio wide receivers, McMillan and Polk and Odunze. Is Garendo gone, I suppose?
Garendo's, yeah.
Because that's our guy that I've really started to like.
He's a fourth round guy. He was not going to make it out of round four. So the two names that really kind of jump off to me, Cody Schrader from Mizzou, Frank Gore Jr. from Southern Mississippi,
who starred in the East-West Shrine Game,
and he's the MVP. He looked amazing. So Schrader, 5'9", 214. You kind of look at the production that he's had in his career, and I mean, you know, in 2023 he ran for 1,600 yards. He also had 192 receiving yards. But you know, he only got 21 receptions, you know, not a ton of usage in the pass game, but really effective in the run game. The one thing that you are worried about is the size, being at 5'9", but he's got some muscle on him at 214. So you like to see that. And then you compare it with Frank Gore, who's 5'8", 195.
Is Kamani Vidal still there?
Vidal's there, but I also, another high usage guy, kind of concerned about that. But yeah, Frank Gore Jr., 5'8", 195, he's an inch shorter and almost 20 pounds smaller than Cody Schrader. But the dude's got some burst to him. Wasn't quite as productive last year as Schrader was at Mizzou. Talking about a guy who was just over 1,100 yards rushing, 224 yards passing, 224 yards receiving. And, you know, it was funny. It's like, you know, during the fall, after I watched Mizzou and Florida play in Columbia, I told you, I was talking Cody Schrader up big. Like, he impressed me. Like, you know, he's someone that I definitely think as a pass blocker, you know, he could definitely use some improvement there. But he's got a ton of upside as a receiver. I think he can be really, really dangerous in the passing game. He leaks out. You throw a ball to him in the flats, he goes. He's got some burst to him because he's shorter, but he's got some musculature to him. He's going to be a little tough to bring down because he'll bust through the arm tackles that you see a lot of these defensive players make. So that certainly gives you it gives me a lot of confidence that I think he could be someone that as a number two running back, number three potentially, he could be really effective. And I think the Chiefs don't really, like, they're not really looking for, like, massive monster running backs. It's cool if they can get that, but they're looking for guys who are going to be able to catch it, who are going to be able to move in space, who are going to be tough in pass blocking, and, you know, they want effort guys. Cody Schrader did a really good job in the SEC, played against some really good defenses.
Well, the nation yards per game.
Yeah, he was just, he was electric. Like, watching him, every time he touched the football against Florida, I was like, oh my God, this dude, he looked like he was going to break one every time. And I think he did break a big run out in that game. But like he's got some explosiveness. He's got the muscle there to withstand the punishment of playing at that level.
Slower 40.
And yeah, slower 40, but I don't think the Chiefs care about that. I mean, you know, 4.640 from Clyde, 4.640 from Kareem Hunt. So you're not too worried about the 40 time as much. I'm going to go Cody Schrader here in the fifth round. So now we're on to pick 173 in the fifth round for the Kansas City Chiefs.
And this is where you start to get creative. We've already gone in the running situation. Wide receiver room, we're still looking at that. Cornerback is definitely something I can see as well.
I could see a more athletic corner. Like I think third day is probably where they take a corner. It's just third day is also kind of a mixed bag, just because, you know, we've talked about this many times before. Like, day three is probably not going to be as good as it's normally been because of NIL. So you're not going to have you're probably not going to have quite the success rate with those day three picks than you normally would.
It's tough, man, because you want to go wide receiver. You're not sure if someone's out there that can make a difference for you. Dominic Lavett, that played at Mizzou, that transferred to Georgia, you know, still an interesting guy out there, I think, you know, as far as a pick. Anthony Gould, Oregon State, kind of stands out to me as well.
I'll say this. If you didn't draft Luke McCaffrey already, I would say take Anthony Gould, because Anthony Gould, to me, just screams slot receiver. He was great against man coverage.
You know what, though? I'm going a different direction, though, because this guy's still available.
Who?
And I like him. Gene Bell. Okay. And I think it's a guy, Florida State, the tight end, a little bit undersized. What?
You're going a fourth tight end? You think they're going to take a fourth tight end?
I'm going to go tight end, especially rookie tight end. There's no guarantee Irv Smith's on your team. It's no guarantee whatsoever.
I mean, there's no guarantee Jaheim Bell's on your team either.
But I like Jaheim Bell. And I'm going pass catcher, and I'm going tight end. I know that they got him. Tip Ryman, another guy I've thought about from Illinois. But Jaheim Bell would be my pick from Florida State.
Okay. So you got the biggest description we've seen from him is more of an H-back type of guy.
Which is what they need.
He's about 6. I don't know if they need an H-back. But he's 6'2". What is he, like 230? He's more along the lines of the, you know, underneath catch it and run type of guys. He's not really someone you're gonna line up in the slot. He's not like really fast or anything. Was he like a 4.6 40 guy? Maybe, yeah, probably about 4.6. I think
at the combine he ran a 4.61.
Yeah, so not really a big speed guy.
Can split 1.58.
But you know, he's basically, I mean, I would say like from a build standpoint, he's very similar to like a Shannon Sharp. Shannon Sharp is about 6'2", 230, 240. So similar build to that.
Do I think he's better than Irv Smith at this point? Maybe. I mean, Irv Smith is taking a while in the National Football League. I mean, he's right. Not exactly a star.
I mean, I think Irv Smith probably would beat him out.
Jaheim Bell, somebody I liked all year. 39 yes. catches, over 500 yards this past year. He's gotten to the end zone 9 times. In 3 years, really, of starting for Florida State. And he had almost a 17-yard average a couple years ago. But I like Gene Bell, and I do think that he could fit in with this team because of his pass-catching ability.
Okay, so we move on to pick 251, the first pick of round 7. Kind of looking around, man.
We've already gone runner. We've already gone tight end. We've gone 2 receivers.
So this one's tough here because the defensive tackle situation, I want to default to Gabe Hall every time just because I think he could be something special with the right coaching. And I think Coach Colin can really like help that guy take it to the next level. So now we kind of look through the options here. Man, not looking great. Either not looking great. There's one guy, though, that does kind of jump out to me, though. Linebacker Trevon Wallace from Kentucky. From an athletic standpoint, he might have been the second most athletic linebacker that tested at the combine of the guys that actually went through all the tests, because guys like Jeremiah Trotter Jr. didn't. I can't remember the other linebacker that didn't do it. So really, like, you kind of look at it like I've been a big proponent for Cedric Gray, but he's kind of been valued somewhere in the somewhere in the fourth round. And I don't know if I feel comfortable taking him in the fourth, because I think like he had an issue missing tackles. He had a big missed tackle problem when he played in North Carolina.
Wallace was a 4.51 guy.
Right.
So
he's got good speed.
At the combine.
This was, like I said, he was behind Peyton Wilson. He was the second best linebacker as far as athleticism goes. So when I look at that, you know,
hey, Willie Gay's gone. It's an SEC guy. Brett Veach likes SEC guys.
Yes,
being at Kentucky, so I like it.
I don't think this is I think this is more of a developmental move because you do have some depth on your roster. You got Drew Tranquil. You have Nick Bolton. You also have Leo Chanel, who
Willie Gay's gone though,
turned into a very good run defending linebacker. So I think your linebacking core is good, but I do think seventh round you get some depth, you get a great athlete. So I'm going to go Trevin Wallace, linebacker.
I think that's good value too.
Yeah, I think it is. I think for that kind of athlete, that's a Brett Veach kind of guy, and I think you're feeling pretty good about where you went there in the second.
I don't think we reached on a ton. Obviously,
I mean, Tez is a bit of a reach, is what they're saying, and I do think it might be a reach. I think he might be a mid-second.
What they say about Jaheim?
They said a C+, because it's a late fifth pick.
All right.
So just to recap, Tez Walker, round one, pick 32. Christian Haynes, round two, pick 64. Guard out of UConn.
What'd they give me for him?
C+. Round three, pick 95. Dominic Pooney, tackle/guard out of KU. Round four, pick 131. Luke McCaffrey, wide receiver, Rice. Round five, pick 159. Cody Schrader, halfback, Mizzou. Round five, pick 173. Tight end Jaheim Bell out of Florida State, and Trevin Wallace in round seven, pick 221, linebacker, Kentucky. Like I said, I think it's a good idea for them to go and get at least one guard this year after you kind of scratch the itch there with your defensive tackle signings and whatnot. I kind of think defensive tackle's off your board. They could go an actual tackle. I could see that. One guy I certainly would have considered in round four would have been Javon Foster from Mizzou. I thought he looked pretty good. He's a guy that can play either side, I think, as a good backup. I think he can be a swing guy. And that's a guy that was a left tackle at Mizzou. He's got some experience there. So, you know, I think there could, you know, he could create a little bit of competition there. Yeah, and then, you know, you look at Luke McCaffrey is going to be someone I think could be a good gem on day three. I really like Schrader a lot. Like, I like that kid a lot, and I'd be cool with them getting him. A
little bit of reach, maybe sixth, seventh rounder and drafted, but that I was torn because I really like Frank Gore Jr., who had that 87 yards, the East-West Shrine game. I was really torn on both of them.
My thing is just, like, he's not that big.
But I like just the heart of Cody Schrader. It's obviously a guy we watched a lot.
Yeah, Jaheim Bell, after the Irv Smith signing, I'm not really sold
kinda
on
him. Kind of reminds me of an Eckler-type player. Cody Schrader.
Schrader, okay. Yeah. I was going to say,
Cody Schrader.
Yeah, like I said, he does remind me a lot of Eckler. Like I said, the weight is something that I think is really interesting for being 5'9", 214. He's carrying more weight than even Isaiah Pacheco is. Cause I think Pacheco's about 210. So, you know, if he's right around that 215 mark, it's pretty good. Jaheim Bell with pick 173. Like I said, I wonder how many tight ends they're really going to keep. That's why I've kind of stayed away from that position here. And then
I just always want to take tight ends, man. Always just see what you got.
Yeah, and my thing is if we're gonna go tight end, like I'd rather go like a Theo Johnson because I think Theo Johnson, he goes to the right situation, I think he's gonna be elite. I think he's got elite athleticism. He gets the right coach, right mentor, right quarterback. I think he's gonna be amazing. So you know, like I said, for me, like Jaheim Bell didn't quite jump out to me like Senior Bowl and combine.
So you can do a lot with him. You can do a lot with him in that H-back role. Chiefs like a lot of 12, 13 personnel. So
yeah, well, they didn't run it quite as much last year, and
he didn't have the tight
ends. You know, you've also I don't know if he's really much of a tight end. You know, and then Trevin Wallace will be interesting to see what happens with the with the linebacking core. Like I said, I think at that point, yeah, you're just going great athlete. You know, maybe we can develop him into, you know, playing a good supplementary role in case there's an injury of some sort.
Bell's a guy I've liked all year. I mean, it's a guy that I've followed, I've watched a lot of, yes. And it's just the guy that I, you know, have seen.
One guy that, you know, I've kind of backed off him is like Jatavion Sanders from Texas.
I was really high on him early.
Yeah, me too, but the athleticism didn't quite jump off the way I thought it would. Yeah. So, that is the end of the show. That is Mock Draft 2.0 for the Kansas City Chiefs. We will definitely be back. We'll try to get you another one probably the week of the draft. Final mock, just to solidify everything.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Workhorse, when he was at Washington, got a ton of usage, and his yard per carry average was not that great.
Yeah, they needed his three trios of the trio wide receivers, Millen and Polk, yes. and Odunze. So is Garendo gone, I suppose?
Garendo's, yeah.
That's our guy that I've really started to like.
He's a fourth round guy. He was not going to make it out of round four. So the two names that really kind of jump off to me, Cody Schrader from Mizzou, Frank Gore Jr. from Southern Mississippi,
who starred in the East-West Shrine Game,
and he's the MVP. Looked amazing. He looked amazing. So Schrader, 5'9", 214. You know, you kind of look at the production that he's had in his career, and I mean, you know, in 2023 he ran for 1,600 yards. He also had 192 receiving yards. But, you know, he only got 21 receptions, you know, not a ton of usage in the pass game, but really effective in the run game. The one thing that you are worried about is the size, being at 5'9", but he's got some muscle on him at 214, so you like to see that. And then you compare it with Frank Gore, who's 5'8", 195.
Is Kamani Vidal still there?
Vidal's there, but I also, another high usage guy, kind of concerned about that. But yeah, Frank Gore Jr., 5'8", 195, he's an inch shorter and almost 20 pounds smaller than Cody Schrader. But the dude's got some burst to him. Wasn't quite as productive last year as Schrader was at Mizzou. Talking about a guy who was just over 1,100 yards rushing, 224 yards passing, 224 yards receiving. And, you know, it was funny. It's like, you know, during the fall, after I watched Mizzou and Florida play in Columbia, I told you, I was talking Cody Schrader up big. Like, he impressed me. Like, you know, he's someone that I definitely think as a pass blocker, you know, he could definitely use some improvement there. But he's got a ton of upside as a receiver. I think he can be really, really dangerous in the passing game. He leaks out. You throw a ball to him in the flats. He goes. He's got some burst to him because he's shorter, but he's got some musculature to him. He's going to be a little tough to bring down because he'll bust through the arm tackles that you see a lot of these defensive players make. So that certainly gives you it gives me a lot of confidence that I think he could be someone that, as a number two running back, number three potentially, he could be really effective. And I think the Chiefs don't really like, they're not really looking for like massive monster running backs. It's cool if they can get that, but they're looking for guys who are going to be able to catch it, who are going to be able to move in space, who are going to be tough in pass blocking. And, you know, they want effort guys. Cody Schrader did a really good job in the SEC, played against some really good defenses.
With the nation yards per game.
Yeah, he was just, he was electric. Like, watching him, every time he touched the football against Florida, I was like, oh my God, this dude, he looked like he was going to break one every time. And I think he did break a big run out in that game. But, like, he's got some explosiveness. He's got the muscle there to withstand the punishment of playing at that level.
Slower 40.
And, yeah, slower 40, but I don't think the Chiefs care about that. I mean, you know, 4.6 40 from Clyde, 4.6 40 from Kareem Hunt. So you're not too worried about the 40 time as much. I'm going to go Cody Schrader here in the fifth round. So now we're on to pick 173 in the fifth round for the Kansas City Chiefs.
And this is where you start to get creative. We've already gone in the running situation. Wide receiver room, we're still looking at that. Cornerback is definitely something I can see as well.
I could see a more athletic corner. Like, I think third day is probably where they take a corner. It's just third day is also kind of a mixed bag, just because, you know, we've talked about this many times before. Like, day three is probably not going to be as good as it's normally been because of NIL. So you're not going to have, you're probably not going to have quite the success rate with those day three picks than you normally would.
It's tough, man, because you want to go wide receiver. You're not sure if someone's out there that can make a difference for you. Dominic Lavett, that played at Mizzou, that transferred to Georgia, you know, still an interesting guy out there, I think, you know, as far as a pick. Anthony Gould, Oregon State, kind of stands out to me as well.
I'll say this, if you didn't draft Luke McCaffrey already, I would say take Anthony Gould, because Anthony Gould to me just screams slot receiver. He was great against man coverage.
You know what, though? I'm going a different direction, though, because this guy's still available.
Who?
And I like him, Gene Bell. Okay. And I think it's a guy, Florida State, the tight end, a little bit undersized. What?
You're going a fourth tight end? You think they're going to take a fourth tight end?
I'm going to go tight end. Especially okay. Rookie tight end. It's no guarantee Irv Smith's on your team. It's no guarantee whatsoever.
I mean, there's no guarantee Jaheim Bell's on your team either.
But I like Jaheim Bell. And I'm going pass catcher. I'm going tight end. I know that they got him. Tip Ryman, another guy I've thought about from Illinois. But Jaheim Bell would be my pick from Florida State.
Okay. So you got the biggest description we've seen from him is more of an H-back type of guy.
Which is what they need.
He's about 6. I don't know if they need an H-back. But he's 6'2". What is he, like 230? You know, more. He's more along the lines of the, you know, underneath, catch it and run type of guys. He's not really someone you're gonna line up in the slot. He's not like really fast or anything. Was he like a 4.6 40 guy? Maybe. Yeah, probably about 4.6, I think.
At the combine, he ran a 4.61.
Yeah, so not really a big speed guy.
Can split 1.58.
But, you know, he's basically, I mean, I would say, like, from a build standpoint, he's very similar to, like, a Shannon Sharp. Shannon Sharp is about 6'2", 230, 240. So similar build to that. Yeah, I was.
Do I think he's better than Irv Smith at this point? Maybe. I mean, Irv Smith is taking a while in the National Football League. I mean, he's not exactly a star.
I mean, I think Irv Smith probably would beat him out.
Jaheim Bell, somebody I liked all year. 39 yes. catches, over 500 yards this past year. He's gotten to the end zone 9 times in 3 years, really, of starting for Florida State. And he had almost a 17-yard average a couple years ago. But I like Jaheim Bell. And I do think that he could fit in with this team because of his pass-catching ability.
Okay, so we move on to pick 251, the first pick of round 7. Kind of looking around. Man.
We've already gone runner. We've already gone tight end. We've gone two receivers.
So this one's tough here because the defensive tackle situation, I want to default to Gabe Hall every time. Just because I think he could be something special with the right coaching. And I think Coach Colin can really like help that guy take it to the next level. So now we kind of look through the options here. Man, not looking great. Either not looking great. There's one guy, though, that does kind of jump out to me, though. Linebacker Trevin Wallace from Kentucky. From an athletic standpoint, he might have been the second most athletic linebacker that tested at the combine of the guys that actually went through all the tests, because guys like Jeremiah Trotter Jr. didn't. I can't remember the other linebacker that didn't do it. So really, like, you kind of look at it like I've been a big proponent for Cedric Gray, but he's kind of been valued somewhere in the somewhere in the fourth round, and I don't know if I feel comfortable taking him in the fourth. Because I think like he had an issue missing tackles. He had a big missed tackle problem when he played in North Carolina.
Wallace was a 4.51 guy,
right?
So
he's got good speed.
At the combine.
This was like I said, he was behind Peyton Wilson. He was the second best linebacker as far as athleticism goes. So when I look at that. You know,
hey, Willie Gay's gone. It's an SEC guy. Brett Veach likes SEC guys.
Yes.
Being at Kentucky, so I like it.
I don't think this is I think this is more of a developmental move because you do have some depth on your roster. You got Drew Tranquil. You have Nick Bolton. You also have Leo Chanel, who...
Willie Gay's gone, though.
...turned into a very good run-defending linebacker. So I think your linebacking core is good, but I do think seventh round, you get some depth, you get a great athlete. So I'm going to go Trevin Wallace, linebacker,
Kentucky. I think that's good value, too.
Yeah, I think it is. I think for that kind of athlete, that's a Brett Veach kind of guy, and I think you're feeling pretty good about where you went there in the second.
I don't think we reached on a ton. Obviously, I mean, Tez is
a bit of a reach, is what they're saying, and I do think it might be a reach. I think he might be a mid-second.
What'd they say about Jaheim?
They said a C+, because okay. It's a late fifth pick.
All right.
So just to recap, Tez Walker, round one, pick 32. Christian Haynes, round two, pick 64. Guard out of UConn.
What'd they give me for him?
C+. Oh. Round three, pick 95. Dominic Pooney, tackle/guard out of KU. Round four, pick 131. Luke McCaffrey, wide receiver, Rice. Round five, pick 159, Cody Schrader, halfback, Mizzou. Round five, pick 173, tight end Jaheim Bell out of Florida State. And Trevin Wallace in round seven, pick 221, linebacker, Kentucky. Like I said, I think it's a good idea for them to go and get at least one guard this year after you kind of scratch the itch there with your defensive tackle signings and whatnot. I kind of think defensive tackle's off your board. They could go an actual tackle. I could see that. One guy I certainly would have considered in round four would have been Javon Foster from Mizzou. I thought he looked pretty good. He's a guy that can play either side, I think, as a good backup. I think he can be a swing guy. And that's a guy that was a left tackle at Mizzou. He's got some experience there. So, I think there could, you know, he could create a little bit of competition there. And then, you know, you look at Luke McCaffrey is going to be someone I think could be a good gem on day three. I really like Schrader a lot. Like, I like that kid a lot, and I'd be cool with them getting him.
A little bit of reach, maybe sixth, seventh rounder and drafted, but that... I was torn because I really like Frank Gore Jr., who had that 87 yards, the East-West Shrine game. I was really torn on both of them.
My thing is just like he's not that big.
But I like just the heart of Cody Schrader. It's obviously a guy we watched a lot.
Yeah, Jaheim Bell, after the Irv Smith signing, I'm not really sold on
him. Kind of reminds me of an Eckler type player. Cody Schrader.
Schrader, okay. Yeah. I was about to say,
No, Cody Schrader.
Yeah, like I said, yeah, he does remind me a lot of Eckler. Like I said, the weight is something that I think is really interesting for being 5'9", 214. He's carrying more weight than even Isaiah Pacheco is. Because I think Pacheco's about 210. So, you know, if he's right around that 215 mark, it's pretty good. Jaheim Bell with pick 173. Like I said, I wonder how many tight ends they're really going to keep. That's why I've kind of stayed away from that position here.
And then I just always want to take tight ends, man. Always just see what you got.
Yeah, and my thing is if we're gonna go tight end, like I'd rather go like a Theo Johnson, because I think Theo Johnson, he goes to the right situation, I think he's gonna be elite. I think he's got elite athleticism. He gets the right coach, right mentor, right quarterback. I think he's gonna be amazing. So you know, like I said, for me, like Jaheim Bell didn't quite jump out to me like Senior Bowl and combine.
So you can do a lot with him. You can do a lot with him in that H-back role. Chiefs like a lot of 12, 13 personnel. So
yeah, well, they didn't run it quite as much last year, and
he didn't have the tight
end. You know, you've also I don't know if he's really much of a tight end. You know, and then yeah, Trevon Wallace will be interesting to see what happens with the linebacking core. Like I said, I think at that point, yeah, you're just going great athlete. You know, maybe we can develop him into, you know, playing a good supplementary role in case there's an injury of some sort.
But Bell's a guy I've liked all year. I mean, it's a guy that we have followed, I've watched a lot of, yes. And it's just the guy that I, you know, have seen.
One guy that, you know, I've kind of backed off him is like Jatavion Sanders from Texas.
I was really high on him early.
Yeah, me too, but the athleticism didn't quite jump off the way I thought it would. Yeah. So, that is the end of the show. That is Mock Draft 2.0 for the Kansas City Chiefs. We will definitely be back. We'll try to get you another one, probably the week of the draft, final mock, just to solidify everything. Certainly, things will probably change between now and then. Like I said, you know, with Tavondre Sweat's situation being what it is, it might affect his draft stock in a meaningful way. And also, I think that we could see things shift as far as the quarterback room goes, because I think a lot of these teams are probably going to be trying to maneuver up into the top five to go get quarterbacks. You're hearing a lot of noise about J.J. McCarthy. You've heard some noise about Drake May potentially falling falling a little bit to maybe go to the Vikings. So there's a lot of things out there on the table. We're going to keep you updated on any news that comes out on the draft as it pertains to the Kansas City Chiefs. And also, we will keep you updated on any other signings that happen, because that obviously will affect the Chiefs' draft strategy. So for Jay Binkley, I'm Christian Osero. That is this week's edition of the Character Concerns podcast. Please like, download, subscribe on whatever platform you listen on. We appreciate you. We'll catch you guys next week.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not-so-good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.